Well, good morning, and thank you for being here at the 40th anniversary. This is awesome. Who would have ever imagined that someone could actually dress up in a Halloween costume and go to work and get paid? And not only get paid, but do it for 25 years. Well, our speaker today has been with the Kansas City Chiefs for 25 years. He was actually inducted into the Mascot Hall of Fame in 2006. And has had just an incredible journey that we get to hear a little bit about today. And his wife Cam and their three children live in Kansas City, Missouri. And you're going to get to hear a lot of his story from him. So let's give a warm welcome to my friend, Casey Wolf, Dan Mears.
All right, good morning. I was kind of surprised I got invited to speak at a prayer breakfast because I'm not exactly a morning person, to be honest with you. You know, and I'm sure there's a few others in this room that are not morning people either. You've always heard that there's two kinds of people in the world. There's people like my dad. You know, that man gets up at 5 o'clock every day. He's got this big smile. He's like, "Good morning, Lord." And then there's me. I can get up at 9 o'clock and I'm like, "Good Lord, it's morning." For all you good Lord, it's morning people out there, I want to tell you, I feel your pain, but I think I'm starting to wake up. But want to quickly introduce myself. As Rick said, my name is Dan Mears. Here in Kansas City, I'm kind of known as the man with the strange occupation. I am a professional mascot, okay? Now, when you're a professional mascot, I've learned there's three questions that people ask me all the time. Number one, is that your real job? And yes, this is my real job. I have made a career out of running around in fur for 25 years. Second question I get is it hot in that costume? And yes, you know, I always tell people, mascots, me and Slugger, we use a special cologne called Fur Breeze, and we use a lot of it, okay? And then the third question I get is, how'd you get into that line of work? Well, I think many of you know, and this is the other reason I was surprised I got invited to speak at the Overland Park Mayor's Prayer Breakfast. I got my start as a mascot dressing up in a tiger suit at the University of Missouri. Okay. Some of you guys didn't even, yeah, thank you. All right. Now, that was two more than I was expecting this morning. But some of you didn't even know there were Christians at Moon Zoo, right? But, we don't all act like the antlers down there, as I got my start, I dressed in a tiger suit for 4 years in college. Then I graduated. You know, my parents are proud. Their son graduates from college, and they're going, "Way to go, but now you need a job." So if you know, the first job I got after 4 years of college, went out, I got a job in professional baseball dressing up in a bird suit, okay? Check out the legs on that bird right there, okay? As you can see, the guy who was Fred Bird before me was a short guy. I'm pretty tall. That meant his feathers covered up a whole lot more than my feathers covered up when I wore that bird suit. So here I'm running around St. Louis dressed like a bird, get a call from the Kansas City Chiefs, my favorite football team, by the way. I love that organization. They wanted to know if I'd be this guy, Casey Wolf. And I thought, you know, I bet I'll look better going to work in gray fur than yellow tights, right? Plus, I thought about it, in professional baseball, they play 81 home games a year in the summer. Professional football, we play 10 during the fall and the winter. And I'm not the brightest guy in the world, but I was smart enough to know that was a good switch to make to the NFL. And so, Slugger's still got 79 games yet in the regular season, so. But you know, I love what I do. As Rick said, I get paid to act like a nut. You know, I used to get in trouble for that in school, and I get a paycheck twice a month, so that's nice. Go to work in a suit and a tail instead of a suit with a tie, okay? I was gonna wear a tie this morning, but I always break out in a rash if I've got a tie around my neck, You know, the other thing I used to love about my job, you know, I'd get to meet the players. That was interesting. But I also got to hug all the Chiefs cheerleaders, too. Now, that changed about 21 years ago when KC Wolf got married to a fox. And right there, there's my wife. Smoking hot, I know. But we've been married for 21 years. This is actually a little better picture of my family right there. That's my wife out of costume. Trust me, opposites attract. She would not be a good mascot. I would not be a good counselor either, though, trust me. But my wife and I have been married for 21 years. Those are my kids. I call them my three little pigs because we got to go trick-or-treat together one year, and I dressed as the wolf. They went as the three little pigs. But now my pigs are getting older. My oldest daughter is in college down at Missouri State in Springfield. My son, he is 17. He's a junior in high school at Lee Summit North. And then I've got another daughter, and she is in the eighth grade this year. But I love being a dad. All my kids have brought me in for show and tell back in kindergarten, which was a good time. Jim Fox once said, find a job you love and you'll never have to work a day in your life. And when I look back on my career, I feel like I've accomplished that. Work does not feel like work to me. I am blessed to work for the Kansas City Chiefs, and I love what I do. But, you know, I read one time, if you ask a man his occupation, you're going to find out how he pays his bills. If you ask a man his preoccupation, then you're going to find out the passion of his life. Well, my occupation, you know, I pay my bills by acting like a nut in a costume, okay? My preoccupation, what I'm truly passionate about in life, are three things, and that's my faith, my family, and my friends, okay? And I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. But specifically today, I want to share with you something that happened in my life about, 14 months ago now, a little over 14 months ago, that has truly changed me. You know, it was a wake-up call in my life, to be honest with you. It caused me to stop and ask myself two very important questions. Number one, what am I doing with my life? You know, am I spending it or am I investing it? You know, and there's a big difference there. You know, time you spend is gone, right? If you spend your time selfishly, it's gone. Time you invest in helping others, that bears fruit for an eternity. But that was one of the questions. And the other question I had to stop and ask myself is, what are my priorities in this life? What are my passions? And because I'll tell you, my wake-up call came for me on November the 23rd of 2013. And I'll never forget that day, because on that day, you guys, I literally came within inches of losing my life. Now, thankfully, God still had other plans for me. And instead of losing my life, I spent 9 days in a hospital. And I was off work for 6 months. You guys, I spent that time in the hospital. I also got some really cool scars. Now, I tell you, had a guy tell me the other day that scars are just tattoos that come with a cool story. Now, this morning, I'm not going to show my scars, because if I do that, I will never get invited back to another prayer breakfast, trust me. But I do want to share my story. You know, the question that I've been asked hundreds and hundreds of times over this past 14 months is, how exactly did you injure yourself? And the best way for me to answer that question is by telling you that I got to go for my very first bungee jump, and things did not work out very well for me, okay? You see, I'm not only an NFL mascot, I'm also a failed bungee jump survivor. And there's not many men in this world that can say that, okay? That's a small niche that I have created for myself at this point in life. But today, like I said, I want to share with you what happened to me. But most importantly, you guys, I want to share with you the greatest lessons that I have learned since that day. November the 23rd was a Saturday afternoon, and that day I was up at Arrowhead Stadium practicing a stunt that I was going to perform the next day at the Chiefs game against the San Diego Chargers. And what I was going to do is I was going to bungee jump and zip line into Arrowhead Stadium. Now, how that works is we hire a company that comes in and they set up a zip line that attaches to the lights at the very top of Arrowhead Stadium, stretches all the way across the field to the lights at the other side of the stadium, right? And then they attach a bungee to that zip line. Now, I know that's kind of hard to explain, so I brought along a short video I want to show you, okay? Don't get nervous. This is not me getting hurt, okay? But this will give you a little bit of an idea of what I was doing that day. Now, I want you to watch close, because the best part of this video is at the very end, you're going to get to see what it looks like from my vantage point flying 260 feet above the football field at Arrowhead Stadium, okay? So watch right here. Thank you. So as you can see, a college degree from Mizzou came in handy for me. Actually, I love watching your faces because there's a few people out there that actually have a smile thinking, wow, that looks exciting. Most of you guys are looking at me right now thinking, that man's an idiot, right? But the plan is for me to dress up in my wolf outfit. I was going to jump out of the lights up at the top of the stadium. I was supposed to fall for about 20, 25 feet, and then the bungee was going to catch me, bounce me back up, and I was going to zip line hanging over the football field off this bungee cord. You guys, this was going to be the greatest Casey Wolf entrance I had ever done in my career. Well, unfortunately, things didn't exactly go the way we planned that day, because when I jumped out of the lights, instead of falling 20 feet, I ended up falling 75 feet, okay? And I hit the seats in the upper level at Arrowhead Stadium. I hit the seats so hard, I actually knocked two of them out of the concrete. So if you're ever at the stadium, swing by section 324, row 35, seats 22 and 23. You'll notice those are a little bit newer than the other seats in that section. That was thanks to me. But after I hit, I'll tell you, my body immediately went into shock. You know, I was just shaking, and I was really struggling to breathe. And I'll be honest, all I wanted to do was get down at this point, okay? Well, unfortunately, when your bungee is attached to a zip line, there's no way to get down halfway through this ride, okay? It's kind of like a roller coaster. If you go up to Worlds of Fun and you hop on a roller coaster, you're not getting off the roller coaster until the ride is finished. And so after I hit the seats, then the bungee pulls me back up, and then I start to zip line like you see hanging over the football field. Now, you guys, I wish I had time to share with you everything that happened to me on that afternoon, and I can look back on that now, and I can just see how God's hand was all over me. And I'm thankful for that. I'm very thankful. I'm living on bonus time, okay? You know, when you're living on bonus time, everything changes, I'll tell you. Got a new perspective. Rush hour traffic's not near so bad anymore in my life. But you guys, since I've only got about 30 minutes to share with you today, I'm going to make a long story short. You know, I got to take a very fast ride in the ambulance. We got to run red lights. Didn't get any tickets on the way. But when I got to the hospital, here's what I found out. I broke 7 ribs. I collapsed my left lung, okay? That's why I was struggling to breathe. Now, the doctor says, we're just going to give you a chest tube. And she goes, it's just a small little tube we're going to insert into your chest cavity. And, you might feel a little pressure. Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Here's what I found out. If a doctor ever tells you you're about to feel a little pressure, you better get ready, because it's a lot more than a little pressure. Because I tell you, that small little tube that she inserted into my, in between my 7 broken ribs, felt like she was shoving a garden hose through my 7 broken ribs. But it did help me to breathe easier once that tube got in. But not only had I broken 7 ribs and collapsed my lung, I shattered my tailbone, I cracked my sacrum, I broke my T12 vertebrae in my back. So now I've got these two new titanium rods in my back that don't like cold weather a lot. And, I got a gash in the back of my leg that required stitches. I got several units of blood. And then just when I didn't think things could possibly get any worse, the doctor told me I needed a catheter as well. So she also said I might feel a little bit of pressure on that as well. And that's probably my last prayer breakfast I'm ever going to get to speak at, too. But you guys, let me tell you, I'll never forget lying in the hospital bed that night when the doctor came in and told me the extent of my injuries. And I'll show you real quick a picture of what I looked like. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, wow, you don't look very good. Guess what? I didn't feel very good right then either. But you guys, what I remember most, and I'll tell you this right here, was my wake-up call. Was on his way out the door, the doctor turned, and he looked at me and he said this. He said, Mr. Mears, he said, I hope you realize that you're a very lucky man. He said, if you fell 75 feet, he said, you're lucky to still be alive. And he said, you're very lucky that you're not paralyzed. And that night, I lay in that hospital bed feeling absolutely miserable. And I'll tell you, I thought a whole lot about what that doctor said to me. I thought a whole lot about my life that night. And I want to share with you the biggest lessons that I've learned since that night. You guys, number one, I will tell you, I do not believe that I'm lucky to be alive, okay? I do believe I'm incredibly blessed. You see, I don't believe in luck. You see, I don't even believe that was an accident. You see, in the back of my Bible, I've got a quote, and the quote says this. It says, there's no such thing as accidents. They're all just incidents in God's perfect plan for my life. And I do believe that. You see, Jeremiah 29:11 says this. It says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. You guys, my bungee jump was no accident. You know, God knew this was going to happen to me. Now, does that mean God doesn't love me because he allowed something painful in my life? That's not what that means at all. You see, follow me. You guys, I know God loves me. Scripture is very, very clear about that right there. And I also know God loves me too much to just allow needless pain into my life. So even though I didn't like the pain, trust me, I didn't like the pain at all, at least I knew that God must have a purpose behind this, or he wouldn't have allowed it into my life. And you know, one of the things that my experience has taught me is that sometimes God allows things to happen in our lives that we see as negative, when in reality, God can use that trial, he can use that painful struggle in our lives to teach us some very valuable lessons. You know, C.S. Lewis once said, God whispers to us in our pleasures, he speaks to us in our consciences, but he shouts in our pains. And I'll tell you, over this past year of my life, I've learned that some of life's greatest lessons are learned through pain and through adversity. And I realize there may be some of you sitting in this room today who may also be going through a painful time in your life, you know, and I don't know what that might be. It might be the loss of a job, the breakup of a relationship. Maybe it's the death of a loved one, or maybe you got health issues, you know, financial issues. I don't know what your struggle is, but I will tell you this. I'll encourage you, God can use this difficult time, this painful time in your life, to teach you some incredible lessons if you will allow him to do that. And I tell you, one of the biggest lessons that God taught me during this painful time of my life, and this is something my mom used to say, and I was looking around the crowd. My mom lives in St. Louis, but I would not be surprised if that woman didn't drive in today if she heard I was speaking. But I tell you, she used to always say this to us when we were growing up. She said, the most important things in life are not things. The most important things in life are relationships. And, you know, as I spent 9 days in that hospital, not once did I think about whether I had the latest smartphone, didn't think about what kind of car I drove, what kind of house I lived in, didn't worry about what kind of clothes I was wearing. As a matter of fact, for 9 days, I wore the same outfit, okay? Hospital gown that was well ventilated in the back, okay? But I tell you, when you spend 9 days in a hospital and laying in that hospital bed, I had a whole lot of time to think. And during that 9-day period, I was reminded over and over again that most important things in my life are not my things. It's not my stuff. Most important things in my life are my relationships. What helped me get through that 9-day period, I'll tell you, and what helped me get through 6 months of rehab and therapy were three things. I mentioned them earlier. It's my faith, my family, and my friends. My faith is my relation. You guys think about that. All three of those are relationships. My faith is my relationship with Jesus Christ. My family, my relationship with my wife, my kids, my parents, my in-laws, and then my friends. You guys, co-workers from the Chiefs have been... I love that organization, you know, and I don't just say that because they give me a paycheck every 2 weeks. They have been incredibly supportive of me through this. But just friends from the Chiefs, my neighbors, friends from church, you know, when I would get discouraged, and I'll tell you what, I've had many discouraging moments on this journey to recovery. But as a matter of fact, I tell you, this past year has truly been one of the most challenging years of my life, physically, emotionally, spiritually. But during those discouraging moments, what encouraged me the most were those relationships. You know, God would encourage me as I spent time in his word in the morning. Friends from church or from the Chiefs, or, you know, people would drop off meals or just stop by to pray for me. I'd get phone calls, text messages. You guys, I got thousands and thousands of get well cards. And I want to show you real quick my favorite one. I got these. You guys know I speak at schools all the time. This is actually my 9th speaking appearance this week, okay? I started Monday morning, and my alarm rang at 4:15. I drove to Hutchinson, Kansas, which is close to absolutely nothing, by the way. I got thousands of letters from kids. This was my favorite. This was a hot pink card. Came from some little girl out in Kansas, and she said this. She said, "Get well soon, Casey Wolf. Merry Christmas and Happy Thanksgiving." apparently you do it a little different here in Kansas than we do over in Missouri. But here's the card. It said, "Hello, Casey Wolf. My name's Lauren Jones. You came for an assembly at my school. You probably don't remember, but I'm from Sterling Elementary, and I am so, so sorry. And you know what? You're so lucky you didn't die. That would be sad, wouldn't it?" Merry Christmas. Love, Lauren Jones. And stuff. But, you know, those kind of cards are, once again, just reminded me that my mom was right. You know, the most important things in life are not things. The most important things in life are relationships. And I can tell you, since my bungee jump, I've spent a whole lot less time thanking God for my stuff. I've spent a whole lot more time thanking God for the friends and the family that he's blessed me with. And I encourage you to make relationships a priority in your life, you know. If you're going through a difficult time in your life, trust me, it's that vertical relationship that you have with the Lord and your horizontal relationship with others is what will help you get through that difficult time. And even if you're not going through a difficult time, maybe you're here and everything's good for you right now, trust me, it's that relationship you have with the Lord and your horizontal relationship with others. That right there is what gives life meaning and what gives our lives purpose. When I look back on this past, 15 months now, I think one of the greatest lessons that I learned from this whole experience happened to me that very first night I spent in the hospital. I showed you the picture earlier, and the doctor came in. He informed me that I was going to have back surgery the next morning. And you guys, that right there, like I said, was the most miserable night of my life, because even though they were giving me very strong painkillers, my back, my ribs, the chest tube, my tailbone were all very painful, and I just could not get comfortable. I wasn't sleeping because I could not get comfortable. And since my lung had collapsed, they also put these tubes up my nose to help me breathe oxygen. Now, if you've ever had major surgery, you know that they won't let you eat or drink anything the night before you go into surgery. And so I'm miserable, not just because I'm in a lot of pain, but also I'm completely dried up. You know, pain meds dry you up, oxygen shooting up your nose dries you out. And then to make things worse, they won't let you have a drink. So I would go to try to lick my chapped lips, and my tongue would be completely dry. Some of you have been through surgery. You know exactly what I'm talking about right now. But the only thing that gave me any relief whatsoever was the nurses gave my wife a cup of water, and they gave her a stick that had this little sponge on the end of it, okay? And when my mouth would get so dry that I just could not take it anymore, my wife would take that stick with the sponge, she'd dip it in the water, and she would wipe my lips with it. And you guys, this went on all night long, okay? My body's thriving in pain, and about every 15 minutes I'm asking my wife to wipe my lips. And I'm lying there in the hospital. It's probably 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning at this point. And I'll be honest, I was having a pity party, okay? All I could think about was my pain, my struggles, you know, my problems. And once again, I'm dried out, and I asked my wife for if she'd wipe my lips down. And I'll tell you, I will never forget this moment. I'm lying in that hospital bed. My wife is wiping my lips with this sponge. And it dawned on me that there was another man I read about one time. He was thirsty. He asked for a drink. They offered it to him on a sponge. It's found in the Bible. Jesus is hanging on a cross, and he says, "I'm thirsty." And the soldiers at the foot of the cross, they take a stick with a sponge, they dip it in wine vinegar, they hold it up to Jesus' lips. And the Bible says this. It says, "When he had received the drink, Jesus said, 'It is finished.' And with that, he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit." At that moment, lying in that hospital bed, I was reminded that Jesus was also familiar with pain. And God had a purpose beyond the pain that Christ suffered on that cross. See, just like it was no accident that I was lying in that hospital bed, you guys, that was part of God's plan for my life. It was no accident that Jesus hung on that cross. That was also part of God's plan. You see, that was God's plan for restoring sinful man, as you and me, back into a right relationship with him. You see, Jesus paid the price for our sins so that we could have a relationship with a holy God. One thing that we've all got in common, we're all sinners. You know, whether we're from KU, K-State, or MU, we all are sinners. You know, Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But Romans 5:8, one of my favorite scripture verses, says this: but God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know why Christ suffered pain and died on a cross? For one simple reason: because he loves you. He loves me. And if you're going through a painful time in your life, I will tell you that that's the best news I've got to share with you this morning. You're not alone. God loves you deeply. You know, like I tell my kids, if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it, right? God carried a wallet. He doesn't need to. He's God. But if he did, your picture would be in it. And the Bible promises us in Romans 8:38 and 39, that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. You see, God wants a friendship with you. He wants to have a relationship with you. And you remember what we just said earlier? Most important things in life are not things. Most important things in life are relationships. And I will tell you, the most important relationship that you will ever have is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because when the storms of life come, and when those, and it's not a matter of if they come, because they will come at some point, but when those storms come, it's your relationship with Jesus Christ is what will give your life stability and what will give you the strength to weather the storm. And I will tell you, one of the greatest blessings that has come out of this storm in my life is that it's caused me to cling to my Savior like I've never had to before in my life. You guys, I'll be very transparent with you. This is still difficult for me, okay? I can honestly tell you, this past year of my life, God has never been more real to me, okay? And at the same time, my enemy, Satan, he's never been more real to me either. You see, Ephesians 6:12 says this: for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And I'll tell you, that Bible verse has taken on a whole new meaning for me this past year. There have been many days, and I'll tell you, many, many, many sleepless nights when there was a, I knew there was a spiritual battle going on in my life. And you see, Satan knows when we're going through painful times. He knows when we're vulnerable. And one of the things I've learned is that two of his favorite weapons are fear and worry. Fear and worry. There were times when I was so exhausted physically and emotionally that I felt like my fears and my worries were going to consume me. I'll be honest. And I knew it was Satan, and all I knew there was to do was to pray. And during those times of prayer, you guys, here is what I learned, an incredibly valuable lesson, that faith and fear are both contagious. Faith and fear are both contagious. During those battles, I could choose to feed my fears or I could choose to feed my faith. But whichever one I chose to feed, that was the one that would grow. Either my faith became bigger and my fears became smaller, or my fears became bigger and my faith became smaller. And I tell you, I've learned that the best way to fight fear is by putting my faith in a God who loves me, a God who has already won the victory for me. I was reminded of that last Sunday, Easter Sunday. He's alive. I'm grateful. See, God never promised that I'd live a life. He never promised me a life with no pain. You know what he did promise me? He promised to walk with me through my pain. I'm here to tell you, he's faithful. He keeps his promise. I'm going to close with this before I dehydrate. You guys have heard me say this before. Somebody told me if your eyes don't water, your head will swell. I cry so I don't get a big head. Tell you what I think was the truly the turning point in my recovery. In January of 2014, about 2 months after my bungee jump, I was heading to another physical therapist appointment. I used to call them my physical terrorist. If you watched what they did to me, you'll know why. But I was heading to another appointment, and I'll be honest, I was feeling down and discouraged because once again, physically, my body was in all kinds of pain, and emotionally, at this point, I was just worn out, okay? And I was listening to the radio on my way up, and I one of the radio personalities came on and he said this. He said, each day we wake up, everyone has something to complain about and everybody's got something to be thankful for. He said, whichever you choose to focus on will determine your attitude for that day. And I sat in my car, and I know this is a shock, but I had tears running down my face. It's nothing new for me, trust me. And I got tears running down my face, and I realized that God just taught me an incredibly valuable lesson. I learned I could complain that I had 7 broken ribs, or I could be thankful I had 17 good ones that weren't broken, right? I could complain that my collapsed left lung, there was still something not right in there. I wasn't sure what was going on, but I knew it wasn't back to normal. Or I could be thankful that I had 2 lungs. That other one was working just fine. You know, I realized I could complain that I had several new scars on my body. Or I could be thankful that as long as I kept my pants and shirt on, nobody got to see those scars anyway, right? You know, not like I'm a Chippendale, I'm a mascot, for pity's sake. I wear a fur. You guys, that morning, I will be honest, I wanted to complain that once again, I woke up feeling intense pain in my back, my ribs, my tailbone. But for the first time since my bungee jump, I actually stopped and I told God thank you. I told him thank you for my pain. And by the way, that's real hard to do. But I thanked him for my pain. Because it finally dawned on me, if I could not feel pain, I'd be dead or paralyzed. And then I thought about that, death, paralysis, and pain. Guess what? God gave me the best out of the three. Mother Teresa once said this, it's okay to have pain in your life. It's not okay to be one. I love that quote, because that quote reminds me, it's okay if I got a pain in my rear. It's not okay for me to be a pain in yours, right? I'm still on a road to recovery. Most days are still a battle, I'll be honest. I wake up almost every morning stiff, with pain, discomfort. Part of that's probably age, as much as I hate to admit that. But in many ways, I'm realizing my body can't do all the things that I used to be able to do. Which is fine. I'm still learning to thank God for my pain because it is a daily reminder that I've got a whole lot more things in my life to be thankful for than I've got to complain about. Every morning, I'll tell you, I get to make the same choice. I can choose to rise and shine, or I can choose to rise and whine. I don't want to be a whiner. Nobody wants to listen to an old mascot whine anyway, right? You know. I used to tell my kids, we don't speak whinies in our house. We got way too much to be grateful for to walk around whining, right? But, every morning I get to make that choice. And I can't tell you exactly why this happened in my life, you know? But even though I don't know why, I can tell you that this painful time has been a major wake-up call for me and a reminder that life really is short. I'm not guaranteed tomorrow, so I need to be living my life for Christ today. It's easy to take life for granted. I used to do that. It's easy to take the people in your life for granted. I was guilty of that too. It's easy to go through life focused more on your problems than on your blessings. And we need to remember every day we get a gift from God, and we need to be intentional about how we live our lives each and every day. Don't just spend your life. Be an investor. Above my desk at Arrowhead Stadium, I've got a quote. And it says this, I read this every morning when I get to work. It says, this is the beginning of a brand new day. God has given me this day to use as I will. I can waste it or I can use it for good. But what I do today is important because I'm exchanging a day of my life for it. When tomorrow comes, this day is going to be gone forever, leaving in its place something that I have traded for it. I want it to be gain and not loss, good and not evil, success and not failure, in order that I shall not regret the price that I paid for it. I love that quote because it's my reminder that today is God's gift to me. Today I get to choose how I live my life. I'll tell you, my challenge for you this morning is to be a shiner, not a whiner, okay? You know, Matthew 5:16 says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds. And praise your Father who's in heaven. Man, I want to see some shiners in Overland Park. I want to see some shiners all around this community. I love the Kansas City metro area. And man, I want to see some shiners. My challenge you, be a shiner, not a whiner. I challenge you to live your life by faith, not by fear. Most importantly, I challenge you to make relationships a priority in your life. Your horizontal relationship with others, but most importantly, your vertical relationship with our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to close with a short little prayer. You guys, I speak at a lot of places. I speak at a whole lot of places. I was telling the mayor, I'm speaking 32 times in the month of April. There's 30 days in the month of April, so yes, I'm double dipping on some days. But you know, I speak at a lot of places, and I realize, I tell you, I wish I had time to speak for another 45 minutes, but I would never get invited back to another prayer breakfast, like I said. But I tell you, the greatest decision I ever made, I made in high school. A decision I made to give my life to Christ. That's a whole nother story. I was a good kid that I knew about God. I knew about Jesus, but I knew Jesus like I knew Michael Jordan. Read about him, hear about him, and see his picture. Well, my senior year of high school, I came to realize that I'm a sinner and I needed a Savior. At a Fellowship of Christian Athletes camp, I made a commitment. I asked him to forgive my sins, to come into my life, and to change me. He's the one that puts a smile on my face every day. My life's not perfect, but I tell you what, I do know this. Like a friend of mine says, we're all like a jug of milk. We all come with an expiration date. The only difference is our expiration date's not written on us. I thought my expiration date was going to be November 23rd, 2013. I'm thankful it wasn't. You see, I don't know when my expiration date is, but I know every day I spend between now and my expiration date, I want to live it for him. And one day when that expiration date does come, trust me, I've got my RSVP sent in. I know where I'm headed. There is no doubt in my mind. I'm going to say a short little prayer. If you're here, you've never made a commitment to Christ and you'd like to do that, I'm not trying to pressure you, you know, but I do want to give you that opportunity because I don't want to stand before God someday and have him say, hey, you spoke. Why didn't you give him an opportunity? I was going to give you that opportunity today. So I just have everybody bow their heads and close their eyes. If you are here and you'd like to do that, like I said, no pressure. But if you would truly like to make that commitment to follow Christ, you can just pray along with me right where you're at. Say, dear Lord, I love you. And I thank you that you love me. Thank you that 2,000 years ago, Jesus came and he died on a cross to pay the price for my sins. And Lord, I know I'm a sinner. But I ask you this morning to forgive me. I invite you into my life. I ask you to be my Savior, my Lord, be my best friend. And God, I ask that you would help me to follow you in obedience. God, thank you for your love. Thank you for your forgiveness. And I thank you that you allow me to be a child of God. I pray this in your precious name. Amen. You guys, thank you for letting me share with you this morning. I will say this, you're a lot better behaved than the Chiefs fans I work with at Arrowhead Stadium on Sunday mornings. You've been a very good group. And I appreciate, you know, this is exciting for me. Like I say, I usually go to work in a suit and a tail. And hey, it's 7 o'clock and I'm still smelling good this morning. So that doesn't happen to me very often. But again, thank you for letting me share. Real quick, I want to tell you, not to promote my, I wrote a book while I was hurt. One of the things I found out, there's nothing good on daytime television. So if you're at work, you're not missing anything. But I wrote a book called Wolves Can't Fly. And I want you to know, it tells all about my career as a mascot and about my bungee jump and all the lessons I've learned through that time. But all the proceeds from the sale of that book go to charity, go to missions, go to ministry. I don't make a dime off this book, okay? That's why I don't have any problem standing up here and promoting it, because you guys, if I took your money and went out and bought myself a big screen TV, I'd feel bad. If I sell you a book, take your money and give it to people who need your money more than you do, that don't bother me one bit, you guys. I'm not going to lose any sleep over that right there. So, but if you are interested, there will be books available out in the lobby. But again, thank you for letting me share.